Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, here we are. We're back in it. We're YouTubed. There's no pick in the nose. You have to wear pants, okay?
Says who?
That's right. Says who is a great point.
Well, I'm just thinking right now, I definitely don't have pants.
Now you tell me. If I had a nickel for every time I didn't have pants on when I'm on the YouTube channel. But we're back. Can I do this real quick? Can I do this real quick? I do want to say this. I've already publicly announced it on Twitter. We already kind of had the big rollout. But there's big news for the Lincoln basketball community coming this October. My brother and I are opening a Shoot 360.
Oh.
You see that thing right there? Coming this October, my brother and I are opening a Shoot 360. It's the world's most advanced basketball training facility, and it's coming right here to our hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska. Shoot 360, it's a national franchise that's taken the basketball skill development world by storm. It's rapidly grown to over 40 locations across the country. 26 NBA facilities use this technology. Trey Young is an investor. There's a lot of big people involved with this. But the beauty of it is you hear NBA, you hear Trey Young. It meets you where you're at with your skill development process. So if you're a young player, a third, a fourth, a fifth grader, or you're, Bo Rude in his prime, the Shoot 360 approach can get you
really
covered.
I'm excited to see how many people, how many, I think kids are going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's
course.
Obvious.
Yeah.
How many people like our age and older though, will want to go in there and just almost make a league out of it. Because it's competition. I had not seen the video until you sent those videos. And it's pretty sweet just how you can go in there and just
the shooting leagues are great. And there's no doubt. And it's a good workout. You really get in there and do your thing, you're going to get a good sweat. But I just want to mention that again, the Shoot 360 approach to the skill development process, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to improve your game. It's going to bring a smile to your face. We're going to be rolling out more information as we approach our grand opening in mid-October. But go to shoot360.com/Lincoln. There's a ton of information there. Follow all of our social channels as well. Just look at Shoot 360 Lincoln, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And we are fired up. So you're going to be seeing a lot of Shoot 360.
Yeah, you got to rep it.
Do I need to get Bo Rude a Shoot 360?
You know I'd wear it. So
I need to be like Garth. Is it Garth that was?
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking all everybody cares about is money.
Selling out. He's got Pepsi stuff all over the place. That's going to be.
Nick, all this talk's giving me a headache. take two of these. Yeah. Little, yellow, different.
What a scene. All right. We're taping this.
And we're doing video back on video.
Back on video. But it is. We are. Do you realize 1 week from today? So we're taping this. It's August 24th.
Oh, geez, it's Thursday. Thursday, too.
One week out from the Matt Rhule era kicking off.
I'm officially excited.
Oh,
I've kind of put the blinders on the offseason. I just said, let's just need some time. And now I'm ready. I'm officially ready.
I've tried hard to not, you're kind of. It was a big day if you're going to day drink all day. You're like, don't get too hammered before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I've felt like that has been my approach for, chugging the Rhulade, but it's been hard not to, especially with their Hard Knock series they've had on YouTube. He's an impressive dude.
I actually was thinking about you, you specifically, because you love people that really can message, really can know how to convey, elite level messaging. And that guy's as good as you'll ever see. I mean, he's really that good at just talking off the cuff.
I know.
And so I was like, oh yeah, Nick for sure is all in right now on Rhule, but it is hard to be skeptical when somebody is constantly saying the right thing all the time.
I just don't really think again, we've been over this, like, other than a few of his staff hires, the guy's kind of not missed to me.
And he's even doing the hard things. Like, you know, he was, and this is one of the things he mentioned is like, you know, we're trying to build a culture for the long run. And that means that, like, some guys are getting suspended that maybe wouldn't normally get suspended over certain type of things.
Right.
And like, you know, Miles Farmer's gone, you know, got suspended. Like, they suspended Anthony Grant. Like, those are big players for you those are tough moves to make, but I respect it. I respect having a standard and holding people to it.
Well, and one of the early videos he sent too was talking about how, like, if you're not, like, his whole, he said something to the effect of, like, if you think I'm going to get to game day and switch up, like, if you're not bringing it and you're not part of the brotherhood,
yeah,
like, kind of basically to decipher what he's saying is, like, I don't give a shit who you are and how good you are. If you're not doing the things process-wise that I demand,
yeah,
come game day, you're not playing.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I believe him when he says it. I just feel like, man, that guy is, he's been impressive.
But we'll see. They got to play the game. They got to play football. They've got to play against potentially guys as talented or more talented than they are.
No question.
The part that gets, like, you just can't know. The off-season stuff always happens how it happens. But, like, the real game is just so much different. And when the lights are on and you're playing against big boys in the Big Ten, like, it's just different.
So we're about to do a game-by-game prediction. But to your point, before we springboard our way into this, I just don't know. How good is this offensive line? I don't know. How good is this defensive line? I don't know. How good is this quarterback, Jeff Sims? I don't really know. And when you don't really know the answer to those three questions,
yeah,
like, there's a version where you could paint a picture of, like, Sims is 6'4", 225. He can run. He's improved his accuracy. He changes scenery. Yeah. Do him right. He's going to be good. O-line, they're older. They do got some, you know, recruiting ranking-wise. They have some talent. D-line, da-da-da-da. Tony White, the 335 might be good. Like, whatever. You could build a case where all three are, like, good, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Game by game, Bo Root has led the nation. Let me pull up the running tally from the last 5 years.
Nick.
Bo's predictions have been 29-0, 38-0, 58-0.
I got some friends that have around the state, because, you know, where I work.
Yes.
I got some people that are waiting, like, jokingly waiting for my 8-win.
To see your,
My 8-win prediction. So I have a number that I'm trying to get to, but I'm trying not to just have the number. I'm trying to be honest about it, like I always do, where I go with my gut. But if I go over 6 or 7 wins, somebody needs to come in this room and just give me a slap.
But it is hard to do that real quick, to start at a number,
yes,
and then try to, like, get to that. That's hard to do. Because I will say, yeah, I started at a number and I ended over that number.
And that's what I usually end up. So I try not to reverse engineer it, but my past history is telling me maybe I should.
Okay.
You shouldn't. I want you to go game by game and just
here we go. Let's
just
go.
That's the way we usually. We try not to be like, let's just try to do it.
Okay. So here we go. Game number one, Minnesota, August 31st, Big Fox. Game number one. I mean, it's a hard scenario. We've been over this. We've talked a lot about this game. We've put a lot of pressure and emphasis on this game. And the reality is, if you think about it, when's the last time Nebraska played well in their first game? Like, even, I mean, you could honestly, I'm not so sure their best first game performance of the last 5-6 years isn't the Colorado game.
The loss to Colorado.
Because, like, South Alabama, they kind of played terrible. The Ohio State in the COVID year was, I mean, it was Ohio State.
Yeah. Wasn't like a Cam Taylor Britt pick six that, like, kind of got us through that? Like, but that was a bad game.
The South Alabama game was a bad game. And remember, there was some, Martinez looked a little off. There was just something about that game. You're like, well, this didn't look quite right.
Yeah. Ohio State was brutal as COVID. I mean, we actually looked,
the first half looked okay.
Yeah. We looked okay. It was overmatched. But I mean, Illinois and Northwestern are so seared into our brain that, like, That is more what I am picturing here. So,
and that's the, that's the hard part about it, because it is challenging when you consider that. And then all the new, you got a brand new head coach, a brand new OC, a brand new offensive system, a brand new unique defensive system with a new DC, a new quarterback. That's a lot of new to take to Minneapolis against a program in PJ Fleck that he's in year seven. They got things established. They're by no means a juggernaut. They did lose their all-time leading rusher in Mohammed Ibrahim. Their quarterback situation is just okay. But I mean, if you excluding the COVID year where Minnesota got hit hard by COVID, in 2019, they went 11-2, 2021, they went 9-4, and then 2022, Minnesota last year went 9-4 and beat Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl. So, like, they've had some success. I thought it was interesting listening to Barrett talk about Minnesota, and the first thing he brought up was that Minnesota has by far the biggest offensive line in the league.
They're trees. They're northern trees.
They're northern Minnesotan, just like huge. So he didn't say, it's not the best like offensive line.
PJ Fleck has like what's your recruiting like prototype? And he's just like, he gets a picture of Paul Bunyan. It's
like, I want that.
I want this.
I want this guy. What a California Redwood at left tackle.
Paul Bunyan.
I mean, seriously. But they do. They're all 330, 6'8", 330.
They're huge.
I mean,
they're huge. They're tall. Like, they are tall, big guys.
Which makes that, which will be an interesting test for the 3-3-5 right away. Also, Barrett brought this up on a lot of different teams, but with Minnesota, he also brought up how important it is if you get a lead on Minnesota. Their offense isn't necessarily built to play down 14, down 17, down 13. I don't know, man. This is just a game that to me has too many things working against Nebraska. I may be wrong, but this is already, people are going to log out of the YouTube and the pod immediately. I think there's a better chance Nebraska gets beat by two touchdowns than wins this game.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Okay. So this is one where I'm trying to learn my lessons. I'm trying. Everything inside me wants to take us in this game.
Okay.
I really do. I just have this, I just can't say we can't. If we play well, we can't beat Minnesota. But I'm gonna try to learn. And if you look at a PJ Fleck team, they don't always have a great start to the season necessarily, but they are well coached. They can run the ball. They hold the clock. A huge line versus a new defense. Not that we're small, because we have Hutmacher and Gunnarsson, but this 3-3-5, it's sort of a movement. It's new. I just think you add it up, the likelihood is we're going to lose this game. And it's Todd probably a bad bet to take us over them. So this is, as much as I don't like to do this, I'm going to take probably bet on Minnesota for this.
So we both have a loss.
Oh, hurts. Don't like it.
It hurts. It really, really hurts. Game number two at Colorado. I'm holding a game ball from a certain someone, Bo Rude.
Yeah.
30-3, 2005, Bo Rude. What was your stat line in this game? Do you remember what you had?
No, I don't know.
You don't remember what you had? But you got the game ball.
Got the
game ball right here. So we're trying to bring some of that mojo back out.
So the one thing I don't know if the younger fans understand is sort of the true rivalry. Like, their fans are, I don't know if the right word is the worst, because I give them respect. I want to give them respect for being into passionate, but they really dislike us. And they were very hostile. Like when they beat us in 02, they were the 01s with Crouch's senior year, they were like trying to go after fight family members of players in the stands. There's you're not allowed to wear red in their stadium and in their, all year long as for the players. I mean, that's how much they historically have hated Nebraska. But that game, their fans were so obnoxious. Their student sections were throwing things because they were getting their butts kicked, and they kicked out the student section.
That is right.
They had to stop the game for 20 minutes and they kicked out the whole student section. So I hope people understand that. I don't know if that same passion is there, and the same hatred for Nebraska is there, but oof, man, I would say if you're going to go to that game, just be aware, like
bring brass knuckles.
Yeah, it's legitimately that's how it was in the 90s and early 2000s. That was Colorado. And I don't know if people understand the degree of how,
right,
like, man, you didn't want to go there because they were just like, they were just jerks.
Well, and I mean, there's the anecdotes of like, there were some people that you would switch out your license plate when you got to Boulder, because if you parked and had a Nebraska license plate, your tires would get slashed. They would throw urine bombs. There's no question about it. And on top of all that, this is the Deion Sanders home opener. They play at TCU in the first game. So this will be the Deion Sanders Coach Prime home opener. So I say that to say whatever is inside of Colorado football's fan base, the stadium, all that stuff, it's going to be pretty rowdy. It helps that it's an early kickoff. So people won't be able to, you know, they'll have their kegs and eggs and all that stuff.
What's
but
so nuts though is it's a hippie town, right? It's a crunchy granola, you know, college town that has this weird dynamic where yet they still are like they're kind of jerky fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I expect that
out of certain places. Right. I don't expect that out of like crunchy Colorado.
Right.
And yet they are.
I know.
So it's a weird dynamic, but you're right. If they win, if somehow they beat TCU and somehow we beat Minnesota.
Oh man.
You better be ready for some crazy. Well,
Big Noon kickoff's going to be there. So Klatt, Gus Johnson, the whole pregame show is going to be there. Like, it's going to be a hell of an environment. I mean, imagine Deion really coming out in his cowboy hat, all that stuff. The place is going to be juiced. Now, historically, Nebraska's kind of taken that stadium over at times. It'll be interesting to see how much red is in there. But with Colorado, they were 1-11 last year. Their scoring defense, they give up 44.5 points per game. Their offense was atrocious. They weren't even competitive in a lot of the games. They brought in like 60 new players. It's hard to really get a sense of what they're going to look like. There's a reason Nebraska is favored by a touchdown. It's kind of moved around in early lines. I just don't think this Colorado team's going to be very good. So I'm going to pick Nebraska to win this game, but there's a lot of how that Minnesota game goes will impact this game to me a little bit. How the TCU game goes for Colorado will impact this game a little bit. I just think there's, for all the moving parts and new for Nebraska, there's way more moving parts and new for Colorado.
That was basically would be my point, is like the amount of turnover is, you just can't underestimate how hard that is to deal with.
Yep.
Like when it's all new, there's no cohesion. We do have some veteran guys that like have been here for a handful of years that will set the tone. I mean, we got Ty Robinson, Reimer,
Henrich, Newsom.
We got those guys. I mean, in our O-line, as much as we're kind of like, we don't know what they are, some guys are three-year starters.
Yeah.
Like in the end, they've got reps. Mm-hmm. I always go with the old guy that take the rep that's had the reps versus the new young hotshot that's, you know, high rated, whatever. Because like he's never played. He doesn't know the tricks of the trade yet.
And it is kind of exciting to really picture clock strike zero and Prime has to shake Matt Rhule's hands after Nebraska wins. Man. It's a little bit of
a fresh meat win for us because we haven't had a marquee win in a long time. And this isn't a good team we're playing, but because of the hype of Prime and the hype of it's Colorado, it could feel bigger than it actually probably is. And I think we can do it.
I love it. So win, 1-1 going now to Matt Rhule's home opener, Saturday, September 16th, Northern Illinois. It's a night game. It's on FS1. That's exciting. People have all day to tailgate. I'm sure it'll be a big recruiting weekend.
Yeah.
So Nebraska will kick off the Matt Rhule era hosting Northern Illinois. I would assume that the atmosphere will be great in that game. Northern Illinois, they went 3-9 last year. They do return a senior starting quarterback, and they have 6 returning starters on both sides of the ball, including a lot in the trenches. Northern Illinois over the years is kind of...
They've played us tough.
They've kind of been pretty good. But I think Nebraska wins this game. I don't think we need to elaborate. You got any hot take on Northern Illinois? Okay. Nebraska. Then following week, Saturday, September 23rd, Louisiana Tech comes to town. Nebraska will have three games under their belt at this time. Louisiana Tech, they went 3-9 last year, 2-9 against FBS opponents. They lost by 20 points or more 5 times. Their head coach, Sonny Cumbie, he made his head coaching debut last year, so this is year 2 for a young coach. ESPN's FPI gives Nebraska an 84% chance of winning this game. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the most that ESPN, the highest percentage Nebraska has to win the game, according to FPI. I think it's going to be the easiest game in Nebraska's schedule, so I think it's a win.
That's a win.
All right. So now Nebraska's 3-1, according to us, getting ready to host Michigan.
Okay.
And, of course, Jim Harbaugh will be his first game back off of this 3-game suspension. So it's just like, it's always amazing how that just ends up working for Nebraska. But for those that don't remember, just jog your memory, Michigan 13-1 last year, won the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State 45-23 in Columbus. They returned 13 starters. They're going to be a preseason top 5 team. I think there's a lot of people that picked them to win a national championship. J.J. McCarthy's back at quarterback. Blake Corum is back at running back. They return a ton of their top defensive players on a unit that was the 7th best scoring defense in the country. I mean, this game's going to be a monster.
I don't think we're ready for these. I don't think we're ready for them yet. We're not.
Memorial State will be rocking, but it just doesn't matter. Like, the way I look at it like this, best roster Nebraska plays all year, Michigan. Best head coach Nebraska faces all year, Michigan. Like,
I'm just worried we can't throw the ball right now. And if we can't throw the ball, this is the kind of team you can't just manufacture
right
offense. I mean, they're good. You know, I mean, like, you can maybe do that against a worse defense. Jeff Sims is going to be able to run. Hopefully our line, we can just line up and hand the ball off and kind of go from there. But gosh, you know what? Until I see us have a legitimate passing threat, a team like Michigan, it just feels like a real stretch to even say, like, oh yeah,
we
can take that one.
Remember last year, I think our line in the recap pod of the game at Michigan was like, they were playing with their food. Michigan was, it was like, they kind of just were mucking around, and that was Chuba played that whole game. Chuba was in the midst of his struggles, and it just was, I mean, that's what it could look like. So Michigan wins. So Nebraska is then 3-2 right now, according to us. Friday night game at Illinois, October 6th. So last year, Nebraska lost to Illinois 26-9. But wasn't that the game? Remember, Nebraska was up 9-6, and I thought they had a bunch of momentum. Ramir Johnson dropped a wheel route. And then the next play, Casey Thompson got knocked out of the game, and then the whole game flipped.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like Nebraska was going to, like, seize control of the game, to all of a sudden, Casey Thompson's out, Chuba's in, Chuba's struggling, and the game just unraveled.
I remember we talked about that moment. Now that you say it, like, on our podcast, I think we went deep into that moment because you could feel – it's not the knockout play. It's always the play before that's the one that changes the momentum that causes the next big play. It always seems to work that way.
Yeah.
It's always like the self-inflicted error creates,
attracts
like them making a play. Like, they didn't just make a play. We sort of gave them this little nod, like, now it's time. Now you come smack my face.
Right. Well, and I mean, you found out just how this team looked without Casey Thompson too.
Oh yeah.
But big difference. But if I'm not mistaken, I thought Nebraska scored to make it 9-6. Then Nebraska got a turnover. I think they fumbled or something.
Yeah.
And then they had a great play dialed up. Ramir drops the pass. Then Casey Thompson gets knocked out of the game, and it was the route was on. But so many of those moments where Illinois ended up having a good year. They went 8-5. They lost to Mississippi State in a bowl game. They had the number one scoring defense in the country a year ago. You know, I'm a Brett Bielema believer. I think he's pretty good. I wish they would have hired him when they hired Mike Riley.
Yeah.
But they lose their star defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, who's at Purdue now, and they lost all of their good players on defense, who one of which was a top, it might have been a top five pick.
Yeah.
They lost their quarterback, DeVito. They lost their running back as well. They did bring in Jim Leonard as a defensive analyst, which I find interesting. I don't know.
But his role, so you're limited.
Yeah.
You're the analyst. You're just limited. You're not the guy.
What's your...
So this is a tough one for me. I would say if we're at home, I'm taking us. I'm struggling because we're on the road there. Losing their D coordinator is a big deal. This one's hard for me.
Oh, you know what I'm gonna do.
You sound like Tony Romo. They're like, oh, I'm taking Jim,
I'm gonna take us.
Wow.
I'm gonna take us.
This'd be a hell of a win.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I'm at. I'm not wowed by Illinois, but this game just feels like short week after playing Michigan.
Yeah.
It's the sixth straight game, bye week coming up. Nebraska's maybe a little worn down. Illinois has been physical over the years. It's on the road.
Yeah.
I see a physical, low-scoring grinder game that Illinois closes out late and Nebraska loses. So I'm going to go, you got win, I got loss.
I'm going to go win just because I got to give the people what they want. They know I'm a homer. I got to give, this is my homer. I got to give a homer.
Okay,
there.
That's fine. That's fine.
And so, I don't like it because they're all, it's on the road too. I'd rather be a homer at home, but I'm going to do it just because we need a little, we need to be different.
A little diversity in our life.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get into this next stretch here, you could argue the next four games decide the season. As much as we've talked about how that Minnesota game's huge, the first two games are huge.
Yeah.
Really, this four-game stretch could tell the tale of the year on whether or not Nebraska has a disappointing year, whether they go bowling, where you have four very winnable games,
yeah,
three of which are at home, and you get a bye week to kind of launch your way into that four-game stretch. So these four games, although there's not a sexy, exciting game in this four-game stretch, there's no Michigan, there's no Colorado or whatever, there's not Wisconsin or Iowa. This is the biggest four-game stretch of the season here. So it starts with Saturday, October 21st, Northwestern coming to town. Nebraska, again, coming off a bye week. To be fair, Northwestern's coming off a bye week too. It is pretty amazing when you stop and go, okay, Northwestern. Amazingly enough, Northwestern's only win last year was against Nebraska. Northwestern, they've been 4-20 in the last 2 years. So they are trending in the wrong direction. Then they lose Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
They have all the hazing stuff. This feels like a game I think Nebraska, I don't want to say they blow them out, but I think Nebraska wins pretty comfortably.
I think we're going to win. Yeah. Cause I think the D coordinator's taking over for
he's
a new guy. So part of that was like political, that they just wanted the person who has the least tenure there is like not associated with them to take over. So I actually think that is that's just really coming off of that sort of situation. It's just so hard. It's a hard school to recruit for anyway, because
yes, they're in trouble.
It's going to be a hard couple of years for them to win games.
They're in trouble, dog. I mean, any way you slice it,
I'm taking us.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, what was it called? Paying rent for you? Give me
I should even say it.
what was the worst paying rent thing that you can tell the people, I mean, knowing that I think kindergarten classes across the United States of America are listening to this?
I think I'm gonna bite my tongue just because I don't know what's out there, but I kind of also believe kind of a little bit of what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room.
Right.
I mean, it's been long enough that I think most people can kind of joke about it, but yeah,
you don't have to share if you don't want to.
I'm just going to let
we'll move on.
Maybe another day.
Maybe another day. Yeah, okay. Maybe when you get Bo drunk, he'll explain what paying rent was all about.
Yeah, we're not drinking that wine.
Yeah, we'll be good. Yeah. So win. Purdue. First of all, you know what's amazing? Pop quiz. Who won the Big Ten West last year? Purdue. Isn't that like...
It blows your mind.
I have to remind myself... Obviously, last year was the game where Trey Palmer went complete nuclear, just went nuclear. It's one of my favorite games. I know Nebraska lost. I just was
Trey
like,
Palmer, top five Nick Baugh favorite players in Nebraska history.
Have you seen him? He's balling out with the Bucks. Have you seen that?
I saw a couple blurbs about it.
He's balling out with the Bucks, but that game was, Nebraska was damn close to winning that game. There's a lot of reasons to like Nebraska on paper. Purdue loses Jeff Brohm. He's going to Louisville. They have that's where the DC for Illinois went. He's the head coach now at Purdue, Coach Walters. He's a young, first time being a head coach. There's going to be some growing pains. They lost their quarterback, who was a good player, in Aiden O'Connell.
Yep.
They bring in Graham Harrell as their offensive coordinator. They're going to run the air raid. I think the 3-3-5 for Tony White matches up fairly well against a team that wants to get their air raid game right. I like Nebraska in this game. I'm going to pick Nebraska to win this game.
I do too, Nick. I'm going. I just new coach. He's a good coach too. He plays a nice little defensive scheme. I remember watching Illinois and being like, God, they look a little different the way they do things. They had that deep safety. They play a little of that cover two actually. And nobody's doing it like that much in college. So I was impressed with him. But he is a first-time head coach with a new team. It's going to take a few years. He had some really good defensive backs.
Yes. Too,
so that's partly him, partly them. I would say I'm going to homer it one more time, and I'll take another win here.
Love it. I'm on it. I will say, to give Ryan Walters credit, like, the number one scoring defense is the number one scoring defense. You can try to explain that away or whatever. I mean, they were –
He
did a good job last year. You can't be a
bad coach and
have the number one scoring defense. But no, so I got win-win there.
Yeah.
All right. At Michigan State. Michigan State's hard to size up. They've been up and down with Mel Tucker. They usually have talent. This is the game I have, like, I don't have a good pulse for this game.
Here's what's hard about this game is Michigan State's, I think you'd normally say they're pretty good. They're like they go up and down. They go up and down, above average to a little bit below average. You know, they kind of fluctuate. Yep. But Nebraska seemingly plays them well. That's my, and I don't know why we usually do, though. So my gut says I want to go with Nebraska because we usually play them well. But I'm also, this is where I'm trying not to reverse engineer, but I am a little bit like, there's no way we're winning this many games. So, like,
you're basically,
it's a road game. I just, if it's a coin flip, this time I got to go away from Nebraska. We're on the road. I just don't see us winning, going on these, like,
you're so right.
Streaks. Can't see it.
It's kind of my line of thinking of just like, and this isn't a great analysis of the Michigan State game, but there's this feeling of like, there's got to be some losses.
And our offense is just not good enough.
And there's too many unknowns. There's too many unknowns to say Nebraska is going to win this game, that game, this game, that game. It's just like, this was a casualty of they can't win that many games. You know what I mean? Like, that school
of
thought
of depth and of overall talent. If you lack a certain amount of overall talent and depth, like, it just isn't going to happen. Like, it's just not that easy to win, because it means like everything has to go right all the time. And we know that doesn't happen. So I just think in some of these, we just have to be realistic. Like, look, we are going to run into some issues.
And you're right. For whatever reason, Nebraska has played Michigan State well over the years. So, but I'm with you. This is just kind of a casualty of like the numbers game of like getting to a win loss record that is feasible.
Yeah, are they going to go on a 4-game win streak?
Like,
you know, like that for me would have been a 4-game win streak with a, you know, I'm just like,
yeah, it's like
the Big Ten, I'm like, I just think that's getting too.
It's wishful thinking.
That's out of touch with like, look what this team is. You said it. O-line, D-line, quarterback, uncertainty. Like, it's hard to then say, let's just. 4-game win streak, that's a lot.
That's a lot. So I got a loss there. Maryland. This is a tough game to size up in that Nebraska, other than Indiana, I'd have to say Maryland is the team they've played the least since joining the Big Ten. They haven't played them a lot. Maryland had a pretty good year last year. They went 8-5. They got Tua's brother at quarterback, who's a pretty good player. He threw for 3,800 yards, 26 touchdowns, 69% completion percentage a year ago. You could make a case that he's going to be one of the three best quarterbacks Nebraska sees all year. So it'll test Nebraska's secondary. But I heard Sam McEwen say it. I can't remember what I'm botching the number. So I'm not going to try, but he gave Maryland's record in November and it's atrocious.
Yeah.
They've really struggled. Nebraska's at home. I'm going to give Nebraska the nod here and say they win this game. Where are you at?
I'm going to go against us, and it's a little bit of the numbers game. I actually think this is a coin flip with us at home that I would normally fall our way, but I'm trying to learn. Like I've said, I'm trying to learn that we have to prove that we can win the games we're supposed to win. And I just don't think we are. Like, we haven't proven that yet. So I think Tua's little brother is a dynamic enough player that, like,
until
this defense proves it to me, I was like, when they got a guy that I'm going, like, I'm going to take Maryland in this one.
I almost picked Maryland too.
Yeah.
But I'll pick Nebraska. Final two games of the year. At Wisconsin, at Iowa. So Saturday, November 19th, Camp Randall. Again, Nebraska should have beat Wisconsin last year. They lost 15-14. Another one of those, like, what the hell happened? But we've been over this. I think Wisconsin is easily the most fascinating team in the Big Ten this year. I'm so fascinated. There is major 2004 Nebraska vibes with Wisconsin, where they're a total change of the blueprint, identity, and philosophy. We all know what they were. Big-ass offensive linemen, huddle up, run the ball, huddle up, run the ball, huddle up, play action, hit the tight end, huddle up, run. I mean, it was like, that's what they did. Now they're going to an air raid offense with the North Carolina offensive coordinator coming in. They do have Luke Fickell, who they hired. Fickell's really good, and he's a good defensive guy. So we'll see. But, man, I mean, you were on the 0-4 team. Like, when you were just completely changing things, that's hard.
Fickell is going to have some growing pains. I think what's going to benefit him, though, is Wisconsin's had such a steady program that I think he doesn't have to really change the culture
right. Dramatic.
I think what's hard is, like, if you have a place that the culture has gotten into the dumps, that's going to be a harder, longer slog. I mean, Wisconsin's got pretty good culture. So I think Fickell is a good coach. They're going to change the system, but not necessarily, like, shape up the culture. I mean, I think they've got decent enough culture that if the system is going to fit their talent, they should be all right. And that's why I'm going to go with Wisconsin in this thing. It's Wisconsin. I think they, like I said, Fickell's a good enough coach that I need to see more from us more than I need to see more. I think Wisconsin, their base right now is a little bit stronger than ours, just in terms of
culture, for sure,
and talent.
For sure. That's an understatement. I mean, they return 8 starters on defense. Mm-hmm. Fickell is a good head coach, and they have Braylon Allen. Like, so they have more, they have way more known commodities, even in the midst of their changes. I think they're going to be good defensively. I think when you know what hits the fan, they could just hand the ball to Braylon Allen and go get 4 yards. Yeah. So this feels like a loss, and I'm going to pick Wisconsin. So I got an L.
Okay. I'm with you.
Which brings us to our final game. Black Friday, November 24th, Lincoln, Nebraska, Iowa, Hawkeyes, Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska beat Iowa last year. What's amazing about let me not get ahead of myself here. With Iowa, we know what they are: defense, special teams. They're going to be great in both those areas. They do have a big-time player to replace in Jack Campbell at linebacker. The big question is Cade McNamara at quarterback, the Michigan transfer. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. But if they would have had, like, even just okay quarterback play, they would have won the Big Ten West and been really good.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard – I squirmed on this game a lot to okay. me.
Well, let's take an analysis. Where are we right now? So I am –
I'm at 6-5.
And I am at 6 and five.
Yeah. As well. So we're the same. Wow. I am at 6-5. You're at 6-5. The way we arrived there is different.
I went homer early. You went homer later.
I had Nebraska beating Maryland, and you had them
losing
to Maryland. I had them losing to Illinois, beating Illinois for
yes,
you.
Yes. Yes.
So we're both at 6-5. Here was my thought with this game. I think if Nebraska would have had a brain and some poise, there's a version of the past 4 years where Nebraska's 3-1 against Iowa.
Exactly.
2019, 2021, and they won in 2022.
Yeah.
So even in the, I guess for me, I'm like, if Rule can provide more of a brains holistic CEO manage it type thing,
yeah,
and there's just a little bit more poise, I like Nebraska to win this game, and I can't believe I'm gonna do it. What? But I'm picking them to.
You're
I'm
the pick, homer.
I am pick.
You're the homer.
I have made fun of people all the time, saying like, I think I even had a line to people like, gun to your head, six. If they set the line at six, you got to pick. You got to bet your house on the over, the under. You have to pick the under. But I apparently am like going against it.
You're the homer today. So if you're going to be the homer, then I have to be the anti-homer.
Okay. First, so you're picking an L here.
This is good. This is another way.
Maybe this is a way to.
This is how we reverse the curse. This is where we reverse this curse. I'm going to take the L here for the state of Nebraska. I'm going to give us the
Look
L
at that.
Because it might help us win. Because we're going to reverse it. We're flipping it.
We're finally. Flipping it. We're flipping it around.
I usually go two off the deep end with my homer and homerisms, but that's the part that's hard is we have just pissed it away against them. Even though like you'd say they're probably going into those games, it's like, oh, Iowa's the better team that year. We play them and we're like, it always feels kind of similar. Like we're kind of always even with them.
I mean, Nebraska, let's be honest, the last 2 years, Nebraska went to Iowa City last year and kind of kicked Iowa's ass.
Yeah.
And then the year before that, they were up 20-6. Halfway through the third quarter. And again, like we can't play this game where like then we explain away the vomiting and pooping of your pants for a quarter and a half. But at the same time,
we're up. We got up that much.
20-6.
With
Logan Smothers.
Gosh,
so it is hard. As I did so to land the plane, you're 6-6, I'm 7-5. The schedule's not crazy.
Not that hard. Nick, if this is the 21 team, I mean, I'm calling for 8-9 wins easy. I mean, because I mean, I look at everything, but I mean, even Wisconsin's winnable. I look at Michigan and I'd go every other team, every other game is very winnable.
Well, think about this, Bo. Years past, your tough non-con game was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Your tough non-con game this year is Colorado. Same. And you're not playing Ohio State. You're not playing Penn State. Your crossovers are relatively manageable in Michigan State, Maryland. And you do play Michigan, who's the best team in the Big Ten right now. But I just, when I was doing this, I'm like, man, you can get to 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like that high on Nebraska.
That's what I'm saying. That's the part that's so tricky is Wisconsin and Iowa are solid, but they're not like head and shoulders unbelievable this year. They're like, they look kind of like a B version of their best selves or something, you know, like
Wisconsin's undergoing major changes. Iowa, Nebraska's played tough.
Yeah. And they came off their, maybe the worst offensive season we've ever seen.
Yes. They were historically bad. Purdue's got a new head coach. Illinois lost their defensive coordinator. Northwestern's a train wreck. Minnesota loses their all-time leading rusher, and it's
and
not
their
like
coordinator,
and
their
and
coordinator.
The, right. So like, you just kind of go down the line, and other than the Michigan game, there's no game. And honestly, I'd say the Michigan and the Minnesota game are the two games where I kind of like start where I'm like, it's hard for me to think they're going to win
probably
this game,
right?
But every other game, I'm like, It's not crazy. I don't have to get too, I don't have to do too many mental gymnastics to get myself to where it's like fourth quarter, it's 20 to 17 and it's close. And I don't know.
This is, it's kind of unfortunate that Nebraska is not at a state where it's like, hey, this is our best team in years this year, because this would be a year where we could go win the West.
Right.
And we'd be playing the Big Ten title game and at least you got a shot, you know, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? Like, at least Agreed. You're on the stage. You're on the big stage. You're playing for titles. This would be the year that if you've got, you know, for a Nebraska, a pretty good Nebraska team, we really would have a great chance. And that's just, it's unfortunate that this is our rebuild year, you know?
I know. So there you go. 7-5 for your boy. I went into it wanting to get to six wins. I was like, I want to get to 6-6. And I just found myself feeling like the games that, to me, the Maryland and the Michigan State game are going to really, like how they do in those two games, the Maryland game, the Michigan State game feel like pretty big games for getting to 6-7 wins or not.
They're not getting six wins, I'd say, if they don't beat one of those two teams.
Even though that's how I did mine,
they did without it. But
well, but I mean,
well, Maryland, Michigan State, I had them losing to Maryland, but beating Illinois. So I had them beating Illinois.
Yeah. I just think that four game stretch, man, really look at it. That four game stretch
after the bye,
Northwestern, Purdue, at Michigan State, Maryland at home. So if Nebraska goes 3-1 in those four games, hell, there's a world where they could go 4-0. Now you're talking about something, but let's also live in reality where there's a world where they go 1-3.
Yeah.
You know, they could beat Northwestern and lose to Purdue, Maryland, and Michigan State. So I don't know. The schedule is not that hard. There's a lot of change in the Big Ten.
Nick, if we, the Minnesota game, we're betting again, yeah, you should bet against us, but it's winnable. It's a winnable game. I mean, this isn't like the powerhouse Minnesota team. Like, who they got, who scares you? You're like, you know, it's like, they're okay.
Yeah.
Big linemen, well-coached, they're going to run the football, but they're beatable. So, I mean, the part that's so tricky about the season is we've been pointing at that game. And if they win that game, dude, this season's for the taking, because I had a take,
and we talked about this on, like, you know, what games, remember we talked about what game strikes you is the most important, and we both talked about Minnesota, and we've fallen victim to this narrative in the years past of putting maybe too much emphasis on the Illinois game in 2021. And when that didn't go well, it kind of felt like everybody, you know, freaked out, probably deservedly so, but nevertheless, a lot of it was what you built that game up to be. Same thing then with Northwestern in Dublin. You built that game up to be the Super Bowl. Nebraska doesn't win it. All hell is breaking loose. But it's crazy when you stop and think about the past, like, 7 or 8 years. The season has kind of been shaped. I had this whole take on my last pod, how the season has kind of been shaped in the first three games of the year.
Yeah.
Like, you even go back to Riley year one, Hail Mary, BYU.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
2016. What game was the Oregon game?
It would have been game.
Was that three. Game three?
Yeah, and we won.
And you home. And won.
And you were having a good.
Oh,
time.
We had a great time. That was as fun. Lincoln after that game was very, very fun. That was the third game of the year.
Yep.
So then you keep on going. 2017, Nebraska went to Oregon, got their kicked in the first half, and then the next week they lost to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
I still remember. Do you remember Nebraska marched down the field and Tanner Lee threw a swing pass at the goal line?
Oh my God. Yeah. Six.
And it was like one of those moments where there's been a bajillion of them over the past decade where it was like the second that pick six happened, you were like, Nebraska's losing this game.
You almost went, Mike Riley's going to be fired pretty soon. Like, you could feel that. It was like, Riley's on his way out.
Oh, Nebraska's losing this game and Riley's done. And so. But just do that. You look at it. Colorado, year one of Colorado. Like, that game doesn't go well. Then the Troy game doesn't go well. Season's over. Like, you just kind of. And so I made that point to say, like, yeah, it's a long season, but at the same time, history has told us like the first 3-4 weeks of the season shape the thing.
Yeah, it's like the first 3 weeks of the season has been like a Netflix trailer. You're going to see the whole movie. You know everything that happens in that movie from the trailer.
I've never met a person that's more anti-trailer than Bo Rude.
But have you seen the Netflix trailers?
There's too much info?
It's the whole movie.
Really?
It's like,
Netflix
hey,
is like, they're giving away too much?
It's like, especially the Netflix movies. So my wife made me watch some terrible, like, kind of a rom-com. And I watched the preview, right?
And you felt like you had the movie?
It was like, the beginning, like important meat scenes. Oh, I can't believe we have to do this crazy thing. And he's like, and it like showed the like endings. Like it was like showing the whole movie. So like all the best parts were already shown. So like when you got to the movie, you're like, they already showed this. Like what's new? What's like, what
I didn't,
did you say?
I didn't know this. I like this take though. So Netflix trailers give too much information.
It's like they tell the whole movie. Like, yeah, it's you should preview like, Ooh, there's a little something. Are you interested? Now you get to watch. They're like, here's the movie, so you know everything's going to happen. Now do you want to spend your time watching the thing you already know that's going to happen? drives me crazy.
We got to wrap up this pod.
All right.
But hold on.
I got gripes.
Sometimes. You know what I love? What I love about you and our friends, I love when people have passionate stances on very inconsequential things.
I know.
Like, that's one of my favorite things is just to be like vehemently entrenched and willing to die on a hill that is like, really?
Oh, like a preview that gives away too much is like, it's a crime against
humanity.
But
you've always been like, if you know a movie's coming out and the trailer, you will like, I've been with you where you will like cover your eyes or not want it. You're like, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. I don't want to.
Well, it's only getting worse though. Like I've been that way when it was like,
you were like 11.
Yeah.
Like,
you just don't want to know too much. They show too much.
One of the best previews I ever saw was with you. We saw the girl with the dragon tattoo preview. Do you remember it? Like,
oh yeah.
Great preview though, because it was like, I don't think there was any dialogue. It was intense music and it was like just little quick scenes and all that, like, and me and you look at each other.
It was like flashes.
Flash. Me and you look at each other like, holy shit.
Because a flash is good because you're like, I don't know what I just saw, but I want to go see what that was.
So basically, the first three games of the year, a Netflix trailer for a Netflix.
It's going to be a Netflix trailer. Okay. If you watch the first three games, we'll know what's about to happen.
I like that. So, okay, we'll wrap it up. 7-5 for me. Good God. 7-5. The homer, Nick Baugh. I am wearing a red shirt, so I guess it's par for the course here. 6-6 for Bo. Bowling. Either way, going bowling.
We're going bowling.
I feel pretty good about them going bowling, I guess.
We're going bowling.
A Herd at Sports Network production.